So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance. Anybody? Anybody? I would say, I hope you kind of recognize that from FDR's first inaugural address back in 1933, which of course none of us were alive yet to have heard, at least I know I wasn't. But it was a nation that was still in the throes of a Great Depression when those lines were said. And he went on to say, he says, happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. The joy and moral stimulation of work no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profits. These dark days will be worth all they cost us if they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves and to our fellow man. And I quote this tonight for a reason. Because I think fear continues to have a grip on us, not only individually, but I think as a nation as well. That in some ways we haven't learned from our past. We have not learned the true joy, the gladness, the happiness, the peace, everything that we declare at Christmas time, right? Everything that we declare to show that it doesn't lie in our financial security. Hope and joy and peace does not lie in our job security, not in anything that we can acquire or possess in this world. It only comes from receiving again the proclamation of the angels that first Christmas evening. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For you, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And sadly, most of us will leave here, and I know I go, and then my dogs do something, and it just takes the Christmas spirit right out of me. And we leave, and we hear this announcement, we go home, and we celebrate this incredible gift, right, tonight and tomorrow, and then what happens? We go right back into this kind of fear that seems to have trapped us, this earthly anxiety and fear of what tomorrow or even today might hold. See, I don't believe fear was ever meant to be part of the creation. It's our sin that introduced it, and we've been battling it ever since. So if you look at the first time that we're told that anyone is afraid is in Genesis by Adam after they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he hears God walking in the garden, and it says that he's afraid. It says, I heard the sound of you in the garden as I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. See, we can all attest that fear is one of the most basic and powerful emotions that we have. But it seems to have gotten out of control in our society. The rise of anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. Fear drives a wedge between individuals. It limits what we feel like we're capable of doing. And ultimately, it causes us to distance ourselves from the only one who can actually dissipate it. Namely, the one we celebrate tonight. Ann Landers, the advice columnist, it was back in the 1990s, it said she used to receive about 10,000 letters a month. Can you imagine what the number must be now when you have email? I mean, I would add another zero. I can't imagine. She probably at least 100,000 a month. And she was asked once if there was any one particular issue that predominated throughout her letters. And her reply was the one problem above all others seemed to be fear. People were afraid of losing their health, their wealth, their loved ones. People are afraid of life itself. And here's that. I even read that there's a phobia called phobophobia. Seriously. Where actually someone has the fear of fear. I mean, oh my gosh, that poor person. How do you go through life when you fear fear? It's no wonder there's actually over 500 verses, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that talk about fear. I mean, it makes sense that there's actually over 200 dealing with people being afraid. So we don't have to worry that we're kind of odd, that we're scared. But how should we as Christians react to the real crisis we face? Because there are certainly fear things that we should be afraid of. I mean, school shootings, crime, poverty, fatal illness. I mean, heck, listen to just the plethora of the political commercials or any commercial or turn on the news. It's all kind of fear-mongering, isn't it? Do you have enough for retirement? Be careful about what will happen. Don't go outside your house. I mean, it's just like, it is amazing that we aren't just all sitting kind of in the corner of a dark room just waiting to check out of life. I mean, I sit there, I kind of turn off the radio half the time. But I think it's part of the reason where every time God speaks to his people, the angels start out the same way. Do not be afraid. We see it throughout the Christmas story. To Zechariah, do not be afraid. To Mary, do not be afraid. To Joseph, fear not. And even tonight, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. There's a humorous story of a five-year-old boy named Johnny. You know, that's always a good name for a story. He's in the kitchen with his mother, and she's making supper, and she asks him to go into the pantry to get a can of tomato soup. But he doesn't want to go alone, right? You know, he's five, you can understand that. He's like, it's dark in there, and I'm scared. So she asked him again, and he persisted, saying, it's dark, I don't want to go in there. So finally she says, it's okay, Jesus will be in there with you. So Johnny walks hesitantly to the door and slowly opens it and peeks inside and sees it's dark and he's going to leave. When finally he gets an idea and he says, hey Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup? We have to remember that Paul in his second letter to Timothy wants to remind Timothy, but also us, who we ultimately serve as children of God. That we have access to the Holy Spirit and what that should mean for us. We have Jesus, our Savior, Emmanuel, with us. We have the presence of Jesus right there. He might not be handing us soup cans. But Timothy says, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I like how the English Standard Version translated it. He says, to fan into flame the gift of God. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. May we not just survive this life as glowing embers, but be a fire which we can share with others. May we ignite a passion for Jesus that does change lives. And perhaps it'll even bring about a lessening in our society of the angst that seems so prevalent. May we live not in fear of what may happen, or even in fear of what is happening, yet begin to continue to rest in the truth of our Savior Jesus, God in our very midst, the one who enables us to live in this often terrifying world so that everyone might have the opportunity to know the peace, his joy, his eternity. May we be like the shepherds after they were in the presence of Jesus that first Christmas night. And as we leave this place, and whatever we go to, whatever life has in store, may we leave there as they did, glorifying and praising God for all we have heard and seen as it has been told us. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.